Everyone, so it's the 6th of July. It's been a while since we chatted, a month since we got to chat. Really so happy to be here with you all and to see folks joining. I thought today, because many of you will be following the program as it's spun out, and you may have gone through the program more than once, so you may already be pretty familiar with some of the concepts and tools and approaches. And for some of you, you'll be taking the program as you do at your own pace, and you may feel like, oh, we've just started module 9 and I'm just getting to grips with some of the early stuff. So I wanted tonight's call to be a real encouragement and invitation that you can start to play with these concepts and ideas, no matter where you're at in your learning, right? No matter where you're at. So I think one of the great myths that's quite unfortunate around working with self-doubt is that we need to kind of do it right, that there is a right way to do this. And I'm 12 years into you know, getting to grips with my own self-doubt. And all I can say is start early and jump in, and don't worry if it's messy, because life is messy, right? And if we all wait until the conditions are perfect, we just won't take steps forward. It's, you know, completely understandable. So I thought we would do a little exercise to just get some raw material to play with, and then we can do some coaching and have some conversations for those of you who are here. And if you're watching the replay, please feel free to leave a comment on one of the discussion forums, and we'll pick this up. So we're going to be playing with a couple of different self-belief school tools this evening, and I really want to demonstrate for you how I use this stuff on a daily basis, like in real life when I haven't got a template in front of me, so you can maybe start to play with this. Okay, so let's just start by doing a short sort of self-reflection process, just writing some notes for yourself. And I would say, like, really don't do this perfectly. Like, there's no right way here. Sometimes when I'm journaling, I get caught up in, I've got to tell a tale. I've got to start at the beginning, the middle, and come to some kind of nice, neat bow at the end. And a therapist I worked with a few years ago said, you could just mind map it. Just stick the thing that's the thing in the middle, and do little, like a little spider diagram where you just create a little web for yourself. So you're jotting down some notes. And I've actually found that that can be really helpful, because sometimes I don't have all the words and I don't have a nice, neat narrative. It can feel quite messy. So feel free to do this in whatever way feels comfortable for you. Feel free to experiment. If you're always kind of trying to write it down, then maybe you'd like to kind of mind map it yourself. Yeah. What I'd like you to do is to just jot down for yourself a couple of places where you know self-doubt is showing up for you in your life right now. And if that feels a little bit stumping for you, if you're like, not sure, then another way you can think about this is, what's something I want to do differently? Either I want more of something or less of something, but that I don't quite have it in my life right now. So just write down that thing, name it for yourself. There may be more than one thing. And once you've named it, just start to flesh that out. And I want you to think about this in three different ways, right? So once you've named your issue where self-doubt is showing up, I want you to think about three things: what thoughts come up around that, what emotions come up around it, and what you do or don't do. So thoughts, feelings, and actions. So we're just going to take a few moments for you to jot some ideas down. Let's see if I can get some music to play while you do that, but I'll give you a few minutes. How are you all doing? You all got something that you've got an idea of? Does anyone want to share anything that they've written down just to give us some context to play with? You're in the meeting? Feel free to raise your hand. Yeah, Hannah.
I'm happy to go ahead if that.
Hi, love.
If that's yes, okay. Nice. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, really well.
You too. You look very radiant this evening.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're looking like summer is good.
It is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing I think for me where self-doubt's showing up is it's at work, which is always quite a common one to me. I hope these work. Sometimes they don't, but so my thought is around how I'm not willing to commit as much time as my colleagues do to extra hours of unpaid work, which is kind of this issue where I feel bad about it, but I also feel like I need to stick to my guns about it. And then I get thoughts about how I'm sort of not as committed or not as good as a result of it, or that I don't work as hard as everybody else. And yeah, it's a really funny one because I'm also very aware, it's like I feel inadequate and resentful at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because I know I shouldn't be working extra unpaid hours, in that just shouldn't be the case, but it tends to be the case with land work quite often. because they're not corporate structures. So time gets a bit lost with things like that. But also, and also the seasons, in that the days are longer, we can get more done. But yeah, I feel like, yeah, it's this thought that perhaps I'm not working as hard, even though I know that I am. Yeah, I don't really know how to wrap it up.
Perfect. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is it's almost like this internal tension you're describing here. And I love the resentment and the inadequacy kind of really like sums that up, right? It's almost like there's these two aspects to this. So I'm curious to know, what is it about this experience of what sounds like, on one side, quite a healthy boundary that you're putting in place? Like, what? How is that bringing up either some self-doubt or some discomfort for you? What do you think?
I think I find it really hard to just speak up and be like, I'm going home now. Like, right, that's me. Like, in order to sort of instate that boundary, I find it really confronting for my sort of, it brings up a lot of, I feel almost shaky, you know, it's like a real physical thing. And it's something that I'm not particularly well practiced at yet. Like, I'm getting better. But it's almost like I don't really trust that I can do it yet, but I'm trying. Yeah. And I think that's maybe where the sort of doubt comes up, because I believe it and I know it's true, but it's like I'm not quite brave enough still, even though it's like I'm doing it.
What do you think the risk is that you're kind of a bit worried about here?
That I'll lose my job, probably, which I probably won't, but
right,
yeah, of being like they'll replace me with somebody else.
Right. So yeah. I notice that you kind of go immediately to like the worst case scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
Just such a common thing, right? Because of course we almost want to pre-prepare for the worst case. Yeah. And you know, I just want to really affirm what you're doing is brave by setting a boundary in place. So it's natural that it feels uncomfortable. It doesn't sound like it is like a standard policy. Right? So what you're doing is actually very brave. And it's natural, I think, for our sort of sense of self-protection to want to interpret any discomfort, any time when we do something that feels a little icky, shaky, like you're describing, we interpret that as maybe I'm doing something wrong. So there's a risk there that, this could maybe cost me my job. Even though it sounds like, on the other hand, you're saying, well, it probably won't. It hasn't so far.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, is there anything that feels risky in the moment?
What do you mean in terms of me voicing that I'm going home, or
when you're about to say to your colleagues, I'm off?
Yeah,
feels risky.
I feel like I'm letting the team down,
right?
And that kind of, that I'm not sort of part of that group, which again kind of makes sense that could feel like why that would make me feel uneasy. I think, yeah, sort of just kind of isolating myself almost.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I physically am removing myself. So, yeah.
And I wonder if there's, like, what do you imagine? Are you spending time imagining what they're thinking about you?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Just kind of thoughts about how I'm probably not like I was saying before, like maybe not pulling my weight, even though I know that I'm doing my contracted hours and more usually. Yeah, so it's kind of, I know it's not true,
right?
But yeah, I think the sort of, it's a very common thing that everybody seems to work way more and then also talk about how they work more. And I think they're also probably quite resentful, but not able to do anything about it. Yeah.
So I notice you're saying things like, well, I know it's not true, but also it might be true. They might be thinking, oh, well, you're not pulling your as weight. I'm working longer than you.
Yeah, yeah.
What else might they be saying?
I don't know, because there's a part of me that really wants to be like positive about it and be like, maybe it's setting a good example.
Yeah.
And like, maybe it's helping highlight something that really needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's part of the thing of like, I want to be able to speak up and address it properly, but instead I'm being a bit more subtle of being like, I'm going home now, rather than saying this is an issue. I'm just doing my little bit.
Understand. Yeah. And I guess, you know, part of this, part of my questioning around, well, what actually might be going on here is really, it is not in any way to take away that positivity that you're describing or the courage that you're showing. It's really to get to a place where it's like, oh, they might be saying this, but there's kind of an acceptance of that. Like, it's okay for them to think those things, because I can totally put myself in their shoes and that makes sense.
Yeah. I think I need to get more comfortable with people pleasing and just accepting that it's okay for people to have opinions about me and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I've just been like, that's their thought, but it's not mine about myself. I think that's where I struggle, because I sort of take on other people's thoughts and then just not even knowing if that, you know, I don't know if they're even thinking that or whether it's true or not true, but sort of thinking of worst case scenarios and then amplifying it and then believing and telling myself that's exactly what's happening.
Well, and as you know, as we talk about in I think it's module 5, we're talking about the belief buster, right? Whatever we believe, we're going to have emotions around and we're going to take action from. So if you believe, oh, they are thinking negative things about me, or they are judging me in some way, I have separated from this group by taking care of myself, then that kind of makes sense around where the sense of resentment and inadequacy is showing up, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like this, then there's this sort of mix of emotions that are coming from those thoughts of, I want to do this, like I think this is a good thing, but also there's a cost to it.
Yeah.
So in playing with, you know, what they might be thinking, where does your sort of protector self go? What do you imagine they are thinking?
Just that I'm a shit member of a team. Yeah, probably around that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not good enough.
Right. And is that where the shakiness comes from, do you think?
No, I think it's more the worry that I'm going to get some kind of conflict from speaking up or saying, or, you know, that it would turn into a conflict, which is something that I find really uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about conflict is that it's sort of inevitable when you get more than one person in a room, right? Mm. It's like, it's part of our human relationships is there's conflict, you know?
Yeah.
And yet, I think one of the reasons that we feel so uncomfortable around conflict, there's two things. One is it makes us feel like our relationships are at risk. Right.
Yeah.
It, because it's such a we go so quickly into defense mode because it feels like we're at risk. But the second thing is very few of us have had conflict modeled well.
Yeah.
Right. So we tend to have experiences of things like anger and that being quite difficult to witness. Or aggression in some way.
Mm.
Conflict isn't usually demonstrated for those of us who are in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s now. We haven't grown up in homes where conflict was really healthily managed.
Mm.
Right? So I wonder that if there is a sense of maybe remembering or knowing why you might have a bit of a sensitivity to conflict and why you're careful to take care of everyone else.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something around like making sure everyone's okay and emotions aren't heightened, kind of like, yeah. And I think it is that kind of constantly reading and managing, managing, you know, not actually doing anything, but kind of being a bit hyper aware of how everybody is and hoping that it's all going to stay level.
It's knackering too, isn't it? Right? It's really tiring doing that when you're quite vigilant around other people's stuff, reading the room all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think I notice I do it until I kind of step back a bit.
Right.
Or maybe, just I think doing this kind of work really does reveal it.
Yeah. Well, and I would also offer it adds an extra level of courage to what you're doing because it's going against your natural protective tendencies, right? Mm. Not only are you standing up and speaking truth to power, right? Like just saying, mm-hmm. hey, I'm not contracted past these hours, so this is what I'm going to be doing. And then not only knowing that, but acting on it and communicating that, as well as, you know, the underlying tendency to take care of people, to people please, to make sure everyone's okay in the room, right? Mm-hmm. This is super brave work that you're doing.
Thanks. Yeah.
So what I just want to put this in the context of this reflection exercise, right? Of just naming for ourselves the issue that's going on and looking at all the thoughts and the feelings and the actions that are around that. What it does is it just helps us to see how there's a lot of complexity to this one issue, right? And Hannah so beautifully, generously demonstrated, right, that it's kind of, it's not often not clean when we experience self-doubt. There's often more than one person's needs or ideas that we're thinking about. And depending on how we're feeling, we might respond in different ways. Right? Mm-hmm. So idea of the self-reflection exercises, you start to see, oh, there's actually lots of ways I can look at this. If you start to write down your thoughts, emotions, and actions, and you find that they are all very self-protective, right? All about self-doubt. A great question to ask yourself is, what else could be true? Right? What else could be true? Because by getting a bit more of a rounded picture of what's going on, you start to almost see the options for how you can respond, how you can take care of yourself, the steps you may want to take, those things can become a bit clearer, right, when we have that more rounded view. Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing in your example, Hannah, is that there's something that is like driving you to hold this boundary that to me feels quite connected to your self-belief, your sovereignty. It's about a value that you have, or about a vision or a goal you have for how you want your life to be. Yeah. And the way you can kind of know that is when you think about the four aspects of the compass, right? Just look at the key words for each thing. But it sounds to me like this is connected to your sovereignty, to your self-belief.
Yeah.
Right. And so honoring that value for yourself becomes a way for you to demonstrate to yourself that you have self-belief around this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. I just want you to also check in, because you are always in choice, right? So can you imagine going to work tomorrow and deciding, oh, I'm just, okay, I'm not going to leave at my usual time. I'm going to leave when everyone else does, right? When you disregard this boundary and this value, like how would that feel in your body if you imagine yourself doing that?
I think I'd feel probably quite angry and annoyed with myself.
Right. Yeah.
From being like, I've been practicing this.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some anger, like, does that sit anywhere in particular in your body, do you think?
Probably like central.
Right. Here. And this kind of central heart kind of
throat. I think, it's like here. Right. Yeah.
Right. Does it have a colour?
It's definitely warm.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it feels warm as well, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels warm. Yeah. And if you could like reach in and touch that anger, that warm sensation that's in your chest area, what would it feel like to you?
Yeah, it's hot.
So there's that hot, angry feeling right here. Yeah.
Mm.
So I just want you to imagine you going to work tomorrow and honoring this boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Standing up and saying, okay, I'm off. It's time for me to go home. Even when it feels a bit shaky.
Mm.
And just notice like what emotions come up for you there? What feelings, what sensations are available to you in that?
It's like a real sense of accomplishment.
Yeah. Does that have a sensation to it in your body?
Yeah, it's even though it's kind of nerve-wracking and a bit shaky, there's also like a relief to it.
Yeah.
You know, when you know you're going to say something, but then immediately after you feel like, okay, it's done. I can go now. Yeah.
And whereabouts in your body do you feel that sense of relief and accomplishment?
Shoulders. It's here. Shoulders.
Yeah. And if you could reach in and touch that sensation inside your shoulders, what would that feel like, do you think?
It's just light. It's kind of, it's just very airy. Yeah.
Airy. Yeah. Beautiful. So notice how when you're sitting with this, the situation, right, that when you can see, oh, this is actually tied to my values, this is about my sovereignty, my self-belief, and I'm getting this quite visceral information from my body, right, my body compass around what doing this feels like, right? Often when it is a kind of intuitive no, we'll get that hot, red, constricted, weighted sort of feeling. There's a real tendency to go into that kind of place with it. When it is the right thing, when it feels intuitively, it's a yes, even when it's hard, right? We get that sense of freedom, liberation, aliveness, lightness. There's a kind of expansiveness to it, as you're describing. And this is the thing, like, you're still in choice, right? You could go, you know what, I can't do it tonight. I'm just going to work through because I don't have the energy to have this conversation or for whatever reason. Then you can come back to, okay, I'm just going to, all I'm sacrificing is that like feeling. That's what I'm giving up today, you know, and I can choose again tomorrow. But it helps bring you back to your healthy adult self, so that's the part of you that's giving you encouragement, really, to make a choice that feels in alignment with you, even when self-doubt's present.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder if that helps you just to see, oh, okay, it doesn't have to be a nice, clean, straightforward yes, right? You can still come back to what you know to be true for you and make choices in the moment that best take care of you, regardless of what they are.
Yeah, it's nice to kind of check in on more of a bodily level as well.
Yeah.
I think I have a tendency to go straight to my brain and overthink, but actually just to think about how I want to feel physically.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing to come back to.
Yeah. 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 Our bodies are so wise.
Yeah.
And, you know, they speak to us in sensations, not stories. Our brains talk to us in stories. And sometimes that can lead to all kinds of, you know, interpretations and meaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with our body, it seems to be a bit more straightforward when you get into it. And you start opening up that channel of communication, which just takes a little bit of practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Nice work, Hannah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lavie, it's Svenja. Do either of you want to share what came up for you in your reflection? Maybe we can explore that a little more, if you would like.
Today, I'm just listening. So I don't know if Lovette wants to talk.
Well, I can always talk.
It's one of the things we love most about you, Lovette. Yeah.
Sure, I'm always percolating.
If you would like to, either that or we can have a slightly shorter session. But I'm here.
So the question is, where is self-doubt showing up right now? This has been a great journey. I've had so many strides forward, and now I feel like I'm kind of like going retrograde, going backward in deeper and weirder and harder. I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm just working on at first I was looking for kind of right fit work in this self-doubt journey, which that's what I wanted to do this fall, and it's led me this spring into a whole series, 2 years of full-time training. And I'm in the thick of that now. So it's sort of like a little bit of a honeymoon phase is kind of going. And then I'm just noticing weird things show up. Like I've not really taken a class before and then had my breath catch because I missed a point. I'm like, what? Like, where did that come from? I'm just kind of out there in the world in a different way than I have been, ratcheting up professional level. And it's big and it's intense. And I'm really taking on really intensive program to become a therapist. And there's just an intense amount of self-reflection in that. It's like, tonight I start my class in psychopathology. And I think I'm just going to give everyone diagnoses of every, like, I'm just going to indulge. I'm like, you get one. I get one. We all get one. But then at the same time, I am genuinely reflecting. Like, oh my gosh. Oh no. So I'm like asking, you know, my children and they're like, oh yes, do this differently. I don't know.
Well, I just want to reflect back to you. Like, when we first met, almost a year ago, that was your real goal, right? Was to figure out a way to find work that really suited the way you want to live, the way you want to parent, how you want to take care of you. So, I just love that you said that your description of I'm kind of retrograding and going in a different place. I like to think of this work as walking a labyrinth.
Mm.
And I don't know if any of you have walked a labyrinth before, but it's not like a maze. It's not designed to trick you. You just literally keep walking one step in front of the other. But the path of a labyrinth will lead you almost back around on yourself. Like you can feel disoriented. It's a walking meditation. And we can often go, oh, haven't I been here before? If you walk it with other people, it can feel like, oh, they were behind me and now they're ahead of me. And how the hell did that happen? So it's designed as a kind of metaphor for what life is like. And the thing to always remember is that you just keep walking and you are in a different place and you're looking back at to the start of the labyrinth with new eyes every time from a different angle. And so I think that helps me whenever I come across, you know, a new level of the same kind of thing. It's like, oh no, but I am different. I have made sense of this in a new way. I'm in a different place. I'm more resourced now than I was the first or the fifth time that I came across this. And now it's the 18th. I'm bound to be in a different spot. Yeah. So I just want to offer that to you as a metaphor and also to say bloody bravo for being where you are, which is feet first in all of the discomfort of being a learner.
Yeah. I think if, you know, if I hadn't, you know, taken the, self-belief, which by the way, what you put forth here, it's so mental health sound.
Yeah.
It's just really, I mean, I could just see all this work that you must have done behind the scenes because it is a really, brilliant amount of information cobbled together and unique. So I can't wait to see you go to publication with whatever you do. So it's gonna be great. It's really funny because like for so many years I was just so stymied about finding work and having these deep resistances and stuff. And then as I sort of leaned into what are my values, who am I, I had to face my uniqueness or my weirdness, or just I had to relook at something I thought was a closed door, which was going back to grad school again, which nobody wants to do. Probably the first, well, I'm sure people want to do, but I didn't want to do that again. I think it is the right road and a more fulfilling a much more fulfilling road. And even the coursework, when it's hard, it's the right journey. But it's funny how I couldn't see it just because of barriers in my own mind.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't even like brainstorm it or until something leveled up.
Yeah.
Healthy yeah. adult wise. And then I was like, oh, you gotta do yeah. That's the road. Okay. So I don't know if anybody has experiences like that, but that would be I don't know. It's not exactly like it's like your inner toughness or resilience, but it's also a tenderness
yeah.
to kind of wayfind into that space.
Yeah.
So I'm just in that kind of space and I feel just I'm just trying to hunker down into a way of doing life like this for a couple of years, because that's what it will take.
And I think that's the work right now, right? It's like,
yeah.
And I think it makes sense to me that you're a bit like, oh, I'm worried about losing one point on an assignment, right?
Yeah.
That makes complete sense to me when I think about how much love and vulnerability and a willingness to really go, who am I right now? Like, it's taken a lot for you to get here. Now it's like, oh, now I'm starting another journey, which is a different kind of difficulty, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense to me that it's like, oh, there's a lot of expectation riding on this.
Yeah. And just, you know, you know, I'm probably the oldest student in the class. I'm like, oh no, I should have this down. I should have this down and it should be easy. And it's not easy. And you can just put it in a different way than what the professor wants. And of course, I'm not walking in there. I don't know. I just want safeness and like, you got this. But I'm like, no, I'm a learner. I don't got this. I am the student once again. At this life stage.
When you think about the four resources of the healthy adult self, what feels like the most useful to you right now? And feel free to say, I've got no idea, help me up. But
yeah.
I'm just wondering if there's one that pops out for you.
I think just like the sage, the self-trust.
Mm.
That like, no, you, this is enough. Like, you don't have to be like, you know, or I don't have to be like, I got this, I got it enough, you know, I got it enough to show up and be in that place and see what it's like. And, some of this work is dismantling the like mean things that protector voice is saying of, well, you better do it perfect, you didn't do it perfect. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Or just, you know, you're too old to be doing this, or what a loser going back to school again at your age, and how many times have you tried to get training to do something and how did that work out? And you know, yeah.
Mm.
Just got to kind of sit there and be, oh, I hear you. Because sometimes they're hard to hear.
Yeah.
They're going on and you're listening to them and believing them, but you aren't even totally aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but.
Yeah. Right. That's, yeah. The other part of the healthy adult self that I think has a role here is, the lover, self-acceptance,
mm-hmm.
right? Like just allowing yourself to be in the flow of your needs and your emotions as you're going, you're kind of riding the journey of this learning experience. And actually when the lover and the sage, self-trust and self-acceptance, when they work together, super powerful. Because it's about, oh, I'm just going to pay attention to what I'm feeling and what I need. And I'm going to just acknowledge that for myself. I'm not going to abandon any parts of me on the side of the road. I'm just going to keep them on the bus. And I trust that we'll get there. You know, trust that we've got a direction of travel here.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a tender journey listening to those voices and kind of teasing them apart. And I had a really weird, not a weird experience, but I had a writing the final paper for my first class that just concluded. I remember writing papers before, and I'd always procrastinate, put them off, feel overwhelmed, and go through like this whole several days of just an awful feeling cycle with them. And then I started to do that with this one. And then I was like, okay, this feels like an old habit, and this is something I've done before. And do I need to write it right now? Can I just write it for a couple hours in the morning, and whatever comes out at this stage is fine and good enough and still going to be passing for this class? And it was a new level of self-trust of like, well, if I'm resisting this so much right now, don't do it right now. Like, trust myself that now is not the time to write. Which was a whole new feeling. And then, yeah, sure enough, I got up in the morning, and not like even like super early. It was nothing to do with discipline. And it was all about what is the best physical energy time for me to focus on this.
Yeah.
And really not doing anything to do with discipline. Just saying, nope, not even going to put that on.
That is such healthy self-trust, right? It's what are the conditions that I need to do this? Can I trust myself to create them? And then I take steps forward.
Yeah. I felt like I was sort of psychologically tortured for a few days versus when I was ready to write, it took about 3 hours with editing. You know, it wasn't a big deal.
You're in a totally different place in the labyrinth.
And that's how I'd love to, you know, that's how I'd love to live. I'd love to live in that space of like, if there's so much resistance right now, don't do it.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful way of just honoring where you're at. Yeah, just trusting that I'll do this by the deadline. I trust myself to do that. And right now, just not feeling it. Yeah. Keeping promises to yourself. It's like absolute gold. Yeah. And, you know, I'm also struck by the real truth here is that nobody wants to work with a therapist who's perfect, you know? We may as well just weed out ChatGPT and ask them for advice, you know, because you don't want a robot. You want a human. Yeah.
No, and I'm going to specialize in trauma. And do you want a therapist that has healed from trauma, or do you not? Yeah. I wouldn't want to meet with somebody that knows nothing of personal trauma. That's a pretty huge landscape to, you know, not have experienced. But it was something new of like, okay, if I really, really don't want to write right now, I deserve for that to be honored.
Yeah.
If I feel really, really resistant, I deserve for that to be treated as informative.
Yeah.
Instead of a bad thing.
Yeah. You never have to make yourself wrong.
Yeah.
Beautiful, Sheila. Love it so much. So excited for your future clients. Holy crap, are they getting a jackpot? Yeah.
Hope so.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. So for folks who have been watching or who are watching the replay, I just want to kind of talk you through what we've done here, right? So you can start to just play with this approach to when self-doubt comes up. So all we did was just name what's happening, even if that's a bit vague or uncertain, like name, oh, this is where self-doubt's coming up for me. List for yourself, what are the thoughts that come up from your protector, from your protective self-doubt? What are the thoughts? What are the emotions? What are the actions that you're either taking or not taking? Right. And some of those actions might be about the six P's, right? How you're resisting the situation. But the idea is that you just acknowledge for yourself what's actually happening, right? A couple of questions to ask yourself is, what else could be true? So you get quite a rounded picture of what's happening. And you can also ask yourself something like, what does my healthy adult self want me to know about this? You know, if I start to think about the options I have in terms of thinking about this differently, of looking at this from a new angle, and I say that quite intentionally. This isn't about fixing the situation, right? Because often then we get really attached to finding a solution, and sometimes there isn't one. Like both Hannah and Livia have shared these amazing examples of, you know, self-doubt is still there. It hasn't gone away. But can you then tap into the aspects of your resources, your healthy adult self, that can help you to make sense of this in a new way? Right. So what can you lean into? And sometimes that's just going to be about thinking, oh, yeah, I really would love to expand my self-trust here. How can I do that? And Livette's given such a great example of, oh, I can just honor how I'm feeling and trust that I will keep a promise to myself about how I want to do this, right? And with Hannah, you know, this amazing value, oh, I can lean into that value and really trust in the moment that I can honor that if I want to, right? So you're just looking at where in the self-belief model, the self-belief coaching model, what is the resource? Self-acceptance, self-worth, self-trust, self-belief. What's the one that I kind of need to tap into right now? What would best support me? And then go and have a play in there. You know, trust your intuition to figure that out. Go and have a little play in the tools that are available for those different resources. As you get to know this material and deeper, you can start to kind of play with things. Like we did with Hannah, it was like a little bit of like playing with the value stuff and then sinking into the body compass, right? So you can just kind of use whatever feels good to you. And if it starts to feel overwhelming or you're like, oh, I'm not really sure, then that's where you can use your coaching circle or coaching calls with me or the discussion forums to say, hey, good thing, not sure what to do here. How would I best approach this? And that hey, oh, I'm not sure if the screen has, I have frozen. Maybe it's me. But I'm hoping that is super helpful just to start to put things together as we sort of come to the end of the curriculum classes. You know, what does that actually look and feel like? And as we get to module 10, we'll be looking more at, then how can you start to apply this stuff by setting a goal for yourself and then using some self-belief approaches to achieve that goal? So that's what we'll be looking at in the next class. Well, thank you so much for being here and for so generously sharing, Hannah and Livia. It was just brilliant. And we'll be catching up again next time to talk more about courage-based goals and how you can start to play with those. Yeah. All right, loves. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next time. Okay, take care. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.